Hi again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 13th of March. We hope to make this a feature that we will present from time to time, and we're trying to come up with a perfect name. You know how you look for a title for something and it isn't quite with you, but you know that it will be with you eventually. So for today, we're calling it Who Wins and Who Loses. We're mostly looking for winners, and we've been gleaning the newspapers and watching television a little bit to find out stories and to highlight some people who have done good and some people who may have done ill in our society, and spending time doing a few interviews during the course of the hour and meet some fairly remarkable people. So it's a feature we plan on presenting, and we ask you to offer your suggestions. Actually, some of you may want to highlight winners and losers this hour, and some of you may want to just send us your suggestions for our future Who Wins, Who Loses programs. During the course of this hour, you will meet somebody who won this election for an important position and won with 14 votes. The turnout was terrible, and we'll be talking with one of the winners about how to get people more involved in public life. We will speak with a young woman who is with the Mid-America Bully Breed Rescue, and they save dogs. There was this really heartbreaking story about a dog battling back after severe frostbite. This story comes from Kansas City. We will also go to Madison, Wisconsin. You may have heard about Robert Marsland, who's an 18-year-old Wisconsin high school student from Madison who has won the first ever National Vocabulary Championship. All kinds of prominent dignitaries were on hand to support the championship. It's the GSN National Vocabulary Championship. He's in high school, and he's going to be well on his way to a nice scholarship for college. So we'll be talking about that. And we have a woman who's a janitor with the West Bend School District who was given an Outstanding Employee Award, and she loves cleaning. We'll be talking about, you know, I've always wondered, how are schools so clean? And her school must be exceptionally clean because she won this award. And we have a few losers that we'll be pointing out during the course of this hour. And welcome your phone calls, as we always do. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee. So we'll hop around and meet various people this hour, starting with Jessica Weinberg. For those of you who are outside the Milwaukee area, the Social Development Commission is an anti-poverty agency here in the city of Milwaukee. And every 3 years, the agency, which serves more than 100,000 low-income residents in Milwaukee County, every 3 years they hold an election for 6 board seats to represent low-income residents on its 18-member board. Others are appointed by governmental and community agencies. In recent years, as you'll find out, I say the rest of this sentence, the interest in the election has faded, and there aren't very many people who vote. One of the people who won in District 4 with 14 votes is Jessica Weinberg, and she is now a commissioner on the Board of Governance of the Social Development Commission. She brought in 14 of the 76 votes countywide. Jessica moved to Wisconsin from Chicago in 2003 to take a job working for the Bicycle Federation of Wisconsin's Milwaukee branch. We hope to inspire others to get involved in public service by talking with Jessica, who is one of our winners this hour. Hello, Jessica.
Hello, Kathleen.
So you decided to run for this. Why? Not too many people decided to run, and almost nobody decided to vote in what seems to me to be a fairly important election.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be reading my local paper, the River West Currents, and buried in there was one little paragraph that said, do you want to be involved in local politics?
Huh.
Run for the Social Development Commission. And so I called the number and decided to go for it.
Huh. And why did you want to be involved in local politics?
It's a new interest that I'm developing. I think everyone looks around their neighborhood and sees some problems, and I want to be part of the solution, you know, talking to people, trying to figure out how we can make our city and our neighborhoods better.
Mm-hmm. So this is your first step into public service, is it, or
it,
not?
It is.
It is.
It definitely is.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's one of the good I hate to say that there's a good side to a low turnout election, but I feel very lucky that I was able to win. I'm very committed and passionate about fighting poverty in Milwaukee. And so I feel lucky that I was able to win with 14 votes. But democracy can actually be really accessible. It's not as intimidating as some people might think.
Yeah, so you feel good about it on the one hand. On the other hand, you feel badly about it because there were only 14 votes.
Yeah, wow. And actually in another district, there were two people that were running in one of the other districts, and two votes were cast, one vote for each.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, no, Jessica.
It gets even a little worse than winning with 14 votes.
Oh.
But I think that is also making me and the other commissioners think that we want to make sure that in the next 3 years we can really improve the election process. You know, why aren't people aware of the elections? Why aren't they more concerned? And I have one answer, which is the elections are in March on a horrible, you know, it's a horrible snowy day this year. And they're not connected to any other election. So it's just people who are willing to come out for this special thing, and it's hard to get the word out. So I think that'll be, you know, in addition to fighting poverty, which is definitely our mission, we'll work to improve the election process.
Mm-hmm. Tell me now, what, as commissioner on the Board of Governance of the Social Development Commission, you're representing low-income residents in Milwaukee County. What will your job be on that board, Jessica?
It's a voluntary board. We have monthly board meetings. And the board mostly just, you know, provides leadership and sets some policies for the commission. The Social Development Commission runs a number of programs. They do All Head Start in Milwaukee, Energy Assistance.
Oh.
Number of programs for the elderly that keep them
very important.
Yeah, GED programs, and provide summer meals to kids in summer camps.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll just work and make sure that those programs are run as efficiently and effectively as possible.
Mm-hmm. What kind of time commitment will it be on your part?
There are monthly full commission meetings that I'll attend, and then probably another meeting a month for a subcommittee meeting.
And tell me, one of the people, I guess there was even a consultant hired here to work on election details and also, I assume, to get out the vote. The consultant was quoted in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as saying that elections are an uphill climb even for president and for mayor. What do you think of that?
I think it is true. I think, I don't know what it is in Wisconsin, but I always hear the number thrown around that, you know, like less than 50% of eligible voters vote in even a presidential election. And, you know, anyone who was in Wisconsin during the last presidential election knew the election was coming. You couldn't avoid the advertising and kind of the uproar about it. And there we still only get 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, you don't want to set your goals too low, but I think, you know, these small elections are going to have a lower turnout, but we should definitely have a higher turnout than 14 people in the district.
Right. I would agree. What about the people who you'll be representing? We've always heard that it's harder to get people, low-income people, to the polls. You know, they don't have, the transportation isn't as great. Are you going to do anything, being a commissioner on the Board of Governance now of the SDC, to make sure that in the next election, those people you're representing turn out to vote?
Yes. Yeah, we would love to go back to a model we used to have where there was many more people who voted and then there were multiple polling locations across the whole district. This year, because they knew there was probably going to be a lower turnout, there was just one polling location, and that does limit, you know, the number of people who are willing to make it there and vote.
Right.
I would say the best way to get more people voting is to have candidates that they know or have heard about. You know, whether it's their neighbor or the person who gives their kids daycare or, you know, whoever it might be. So I really want to reach out to people to run, and then they can tell their friends and family to vote, and maybe that's how we can increase turnout. Because it is so local, and you don't need money or a strong campaign to be involved in the election. You just have to have a desire and the ability to talk to your neighbors and friends and get them involved. So it's kind of exciting that it can be that grassroots. You know, I made flyers and printed them off on my home computer. And
good,
you know,
for you.
That was more than enough.
So 5 years from now, it's Congress, it's the Senate, it's where is it?
I'm interested in the political process, but I don't think that there's, I'm pretty happy where I am right now, and there's no higher office that I have in mind right now at all.
At this point in time. Well, here's to you. I think it's great that you ran and that you're talking about the importance of public service, and I'll be interested. When is the next vote? When's the next board vote?
The next vote for commissioners should be in 3 years.
3 years.
So I'll definitely be sending you a press release and asking you to publicize the election for us.
And I have a feeling more people are going to vote because of you. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Jessica Weinberg, the first in our list of who wins and who loses, who won this board seat on the Social Development Commission, which represents low-income residents in Milwaukee County on a number of crucial issues. Almost nobody voted. She won with 14 votes. Isn't that something? Time to get more people running for office. Who wins and who loses is our feature. We hope to make it a semi-regular feature. Loses, well, we got winners and losers in this one. Three newspapers said that they're going to drop Ann Coulter's column after the I think we've had enough of the mean-spirited author referred to U.S. Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards as a faggot. The Mountain Press in Sevierville, Tennessee, the Oakland Press in Michigan, and the Lancaster New Era in Pennsylvania said they would stop running her syndicated column because of the comment that she made last week. Republicans and Democrats have been lambasting her for using this slur in reference to Edwards. The Mountain Press editor Stan Voigt wrote, "We will not continue to publish the columns of someone who uses people as a punchline to get a cheap laugh and who so freely uses an offensive term to describe another human being." The New Era's editorial board said it would halt the column following her crude characterization of presidential candidate John Edwards. And it also criticized her column on the website. The quality of public discussion falls below that which Lancaster County residents expect in the opinion pages of their daily newspapers. So here's the newspapers who dropped it, and they are the winners, and to Ann Coulter, who's first on our list of losers, as we talk about who wins and who loses. We'll meet a young woman who is doing remarkable work saving dogs. And we'll meet her in just a moment. And welcome your phone calls, too. If you want to add to our Who Wins, Who Loses list, we'd love to hear from you during the course of this hour, just moving to lots of different interviews. But we have time for you at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Who wins and who loses? We hope to make this a regular feature during our morning hours, maybe, I don't know, once every 2 weeks or once a month. This story is headlined, "Dog Battles Back After Severe Frostbite." Thanks to, in large measure, our next guest, Janelle Fanning, who is with the Mid-America Bully Breed Rescue. Here's how the newspaper article goes. A dog nearly died from being left out in the cold on Tuesday. This is from February 14th, but now he's recovering at a Kansas City veterinary clinic. On Wednesday, the vet said Shiver's recovery was going amazingly well when a Good Samaritan found Shiver. He was starving and had severe frostbite, and parts of his body were frozen, and his backside was bloody. Our guest, Janelle Fanning, with the Mid-America Bully Breed Rescue, said probably tethered and not able to move, so his hind back quarters were stuck to the ground, so he ripped the skin off from his behind. She's been instrumental in helping to save the dog, and I'm interested to find out if the dog's been adopted here, because his picture was in the paper, and I believe Janelle was on television as well, because it happens to be Rhonda's sister, too. I think we, in all honesty, ought to disclose that. So I saw the video of her, too, on television in Kansas City. Hi, Janelle. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So how is Shiver? Where is Shiver?
Actually, he's doing really well. He's still in boarding at the veterinary facility just because he's not fully recovered from the frostbite. I mean, that's pretty severe. But he's doing much better, and we're currently looking for foster or forever home for him.
Yeah. I would imagine you find that there are a lot of people of goodwill and dog lovers out there. You got some press with this story, and mm-hmm. people probably responded, didn't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. We got lots of offers for foster homes, lots of donations to our volunteer organization, and so much support. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. Tell me, Janelle, about the Mid-America Bully Breed Rescue. What do you do?
Well, actually, we are a bully breed-specific rescue, but we don't discriminate against any dog We have a group of volunteers that go into shelters that pull dogs that are kind of on death row or aren't, like in some areas they don't adopt out bully breeds because of their reputation, which is, we all know, is pretty much a myth, and bring them into our program. And we are a network of foster homes that adopt these dogs out. Some of them are hard luck cases. Some of them are abuse cases. Some of them are just dogs that are abandoned.
Mm-hmm. I've seen your dogs on the computer. You have some darling dogs, don't you?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Some would call that animal abuse, the dressing them up, but
I know they're pretty cute. Why do you do this work, Janelle?
Well, I just felt that, and I think all of us who are involved in dog rescue and specifically to any specific breed have a love for that breed, and you know the bully breeds are just one that are so abused and neglected and have such a myth behind them. I mean, it's really difficult for us to adopt out dogs because of breed-specific law, and there's all kinds of things that make it even harder for us to adopt out dogs. And they're the dogs that are the most abused and abandoned and neglected, too. So, yeah.
And what are those myths? What myths do we have?
Just that, you know, the bully breeds, specifically, you know, American Pit Bull Terrier and Pit Bull type dogs, or more aggressive or mean or can turn on you, have lockjaw, all those things are complete and absolute myths, but that's kind of what, you know, the general populace who's never been in contact with one of those types of dogs or breeds of dogs kind of has the public perception of. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And tell me specifically about the circumstances under which Shiver was found. And did somebody own Shiver and just totally neglected the dog or what?
Absolutely. That is the process. He was found. He had broke loose from his tether, and he was tethered outside. And it was during that period of time when, you know, I know it doesn't get quite as cold in Kansas City as it does in Milwaukee, but it was, you know, in the zero and below. And he was outside without any shelter, is what we were guessing, and he was tethered, so he wasn't able to really find shelter, and he was pretty much setting, so his bottom froze to the ground, and somehow he was able to break loose from his chain and found wandering by a good Samaritan. She found him and tried to warm him up and wasn't very successful because obviously she's not a veterinarian, so she took him to the shelter, and one of our volunteers was there and saw him, and unfortunately he was found in a city in which have bans against that breed of dog, a pit bull type dog. So we were able to pull him. Otherwise, he would have been euthanized if our volunteer wouldn't have been there. So.
Oh, my. There's a ban against having those pit bulls in Kansas City?
So it's a city ordinance.
Huh.
And so in certain cities in Kansas City, yes, it is.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have a website that people can go to, Janelle, so that we can...
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's mabbr.org.
Say it again, please.
mabbr.org.
Okay.
Or you can Google Mid-America Bully Breed Rescue.
Mid-America Bully Breed Rescue.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Have you saved any other dogs recently?
Well, just last week, and I saved a dog that I didn't really even realize. I thought he might have some type of pit bull in him, and I took him to the shelter. He was just wandering the streets of near animal control and took him in, and they said that they would euthanize him if I didn't take him back with me, and so I took him with me, and we took him to the vet to get him checked out, and it ends up the poor little baby is blind. His retinas are torn, so we don't know if that's a product of abuse or neglect or, you know, he could have diabetes. It could be any number of things, but now he's in foster care and doing really well.
Oh.
Yeah,
dogs are great, aren't they?
They are, and somehow, I don't know if I'm a beacon to find them or...
I think you must be.
If I look for them or what the deal is, but yeah.
No, you're definitely a beacon here. You're a beacon.
Yeah.
Well, you have a very nice sister, too.
Oh, I know.
She needs a dog, though. She needs a dog.
Well, more of a cat person, to be honest with you, so...
I think you should get her to rescue one of the dogs you've been finding.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
I'll work on that.
Thanks, Janelle.
All right.
Thank
you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so
much. Yeah, thanks. You too. Janelle Fanning, another one of our winners with the Mid-America Bully Breed Rescue. And as she said, you can Google Mid-America Bully Breed Rescue if you want more information about Shiver or other dogs she's been working to save. I love people save dog stories. And I think we have another one from somebody calling in. We're asking you to call in with winners and losers as well. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Boyd from Milwaukee. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Boyd.
I love when you have shows like these. They really do brighten my day. And
good.
I actually have a dog story. I forget where I came across this, But I guess an owner, his dog was drowning, and he was able to save him by doing some like mouth to snout resuscitation.
I saw that, yeah.
And I was like, wow. I mean, you know, talk about man's best friend, and then somehow returning the favor. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I think he was a vet, wasn't he? Wasn't he a returned vet? And this dog was like his one of his best pals. Yeah. He jumped in the ice. I think it was in Wisconsin, right? He jumped in the ice, yes. and was going after squirrels or whatever and got caught and got hypothermia, really, and his owner saved him. I know. I love that story, too.
Yeah, I just thought that was great, and I thought with the woman that you had on, I mean, yeah, I personally don't have a pit bull, but I have a fondness for English bulldogs, and some people stereotype them as being rough or aggressive, and they to some people might look intimidating, but they're actually very sensitive, very loyal. They're great with kids, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I have two nephews and a niece, and when they were toddlers, I mean, the dog was very good at, you know, keeping himself in check, and if they got a little aggressive, he'd just get up and kind of walk away, you know. He very intelligent, knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's keep saving those dog stories. They'll always be a part of Winners and Losers, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
Thanks, Boyd. Thanks
you
for
bet.
Your call.
Sure.
Call us with your winners and losers as well, 800-486-8655, 414-227-2050. Did you hear this story? I just think this is terrific. Robert Marsland is with us now. He is a Wisconsin high school student from Madison, and he has won the GSN's first ever National Vocabulary Championship. He outperformed 49 other top vocabulary scholars from all across the country to win $40,000 in a higher education savings plan. And these were among the people who attended the awards ceremony: New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, U.S. Deputy Secretary of Education Ray Simon, the Chancellor of the New York City Department of Education Joel Klein attended the event at the New York Public Library. Robert is an 18-year-old senior at St. Ambrose Academy in Madison, and he is the national champion here, and I just think it's wonderful. There were a lot of people. There were 30,000 total contestants. Can you believe that? 30,000 from all over the country. So his victory is really quite impressive. The National Vocabulary Championship is a new event on the scholastic landscape for high school age students. It is an educational initiative that was conceived by GSN in partnership with the Princeton Review to emphasize the importance of language arts skills and encourage high school students to enhance their vocabularies. The 50 finalists in the event, which took place just at the end of last month, represented 26 states and hailed from diverse cultural and educational backgrounds. We are so happy to have Robert. He's such a conscientious student. He didn't think he could get out of class. So I just, his mom and I had a conversation last night, and I said, we just got to talk to your son. What he's done is phenomenal here, and he's a good enough student. He can miss 5 minutes of class. Please, please. And so I think we convinced him, and Robert is with us now. Having stepped out of English class, I can see why you wouldn't want to miss English class, considering that you just won this incredible award. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Hi. Congratulations to you.
Thanks.
Yeah, this was an amazingly huge event, wasn't it? 30,000 participants from all over the country?
Yeah. It was a big thing.
It was a big thing. Tell me how it worked. How did you show off your skill with vocabulary, Robert?
Well, to get into the competition, I took this online qualifying exam that it's going to be available for next year's competition pretty soon, maybe in the fall,
uh-huh.
at winwithwords.com. And the top scorers on that qualified for a regional competition. And I didn't even think I'd get to the regionals because I wasn't really studying or anything. But then I got to the regionals. I took the regional test, which is kind of like a SAT or AP style, you know, sit in the room, fill in the bubbles. And then I got the call that I got a free trip from New York, and I was really excited about that. And then we had that competition before all the video cameras in New York City. This is very nerve-wracking. It's actually going to air on April 15th on GSN.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting for me to watch.
I would imagine. And what was the competition like? You were given a word and had to give the definition of it, or how did it work?
There were actually a variety of different styles of questions, kind of in the format like some game show like Jeopardy or something.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some questions where they gave you three words and you had to pick out which word was different from the other two.
Hmm.
So two of them would mean almost the same thing, but one would mean something completely different.
Hmm.
And then there were other ones that were just random multiple choice questions, like which one of these words is not actually a real word, or which one of these words is not a type of fish. I don't think that actual one was on there, but that kind of question.
How did you study for this? How can you study for this? Or did you just spend your life really studying for it because you're interested in words and always have been?
Yeah, I think it's mostly just the reading that I've done and also my Greek and Latin background.
Oh.
Because I didn't study specifically for this, but those things help.
Tell me about your Greek and Latin background. You've been studying both languages?
Yes, I've been studying both of them all through high school, actually beginning in middle school.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that just a part of, is that something you've done on your own, Robert, or is that part of your school curriculum?
Well, I was homeschooled in middle school, so my mom started me on Latin and Greek when I was being homeschooled.
Uh-huh.
And then I continued it when I got into high school. Actually, our high school offers a Latin program.
Oh.
Not a Greek, though. So I have been taking Greek on an online class that has a chat room type format.
Uh-huh.
And I'm at Latin there now, too, because our school is so small that we can't offer all the levels of Latin that we need to offer. So I'm just taking mine separately so we don't have to hire another teacher.
I see. And tell me how both of those studies have helped you with vocabulary. Why did you immediately say Greek and Latin helped me?
Because most of the vocabulary words that they have in that kind of competition are from Greek or Latin. That's the basis for most of the words of the English language, or at least a large portion of them, especially the ones that are considered difficult or more obscure than they would have on tests like this.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel pressure when you were, I can't imagine being under the kind of pressure when people are asking you these questions, you're televised here. How do you keep your cool in an arrangement like that, Robert?
Yeah, that was very difficult. I just had to constantly concentrate on keeping my cool and not really thinking about the cameras or the audience, but just staying calm and concentrating on the questions.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've been told that young people don't spend as much time reading. You talked about how important that was to developing a vocabulary. Would you recommend, as somebody who's won this very prestigious National Vocabulary Championship, that we spend more time in school developing our vocabularies? What will it do for us? What's the good of it?
Well, one very good thing that you get from developing your vocabulary is it makes it so that you can read more complicated works more easily. And so these great ideas of the authors of the past or even of the present that they have written down, you can absorb those more easily if you have a working vocabulary that includes all the fine shades of meaning that these different authors put in using these more complex words.
Yes.
And then on the flip side, you can yourself communicate more precisely if you have a wider range of words to choose from to give subtle shades of meaning.
Are you the kind of person, Robert, who in everyday conversation your vocabulary is so advanced that you'll use a word and every day somebody will say to you, "What does that mean, Robert? What did you say, Robert?"
That actually doesn't happen to me too much because my actual working vocabulary isn't quite as large as I would like it to be, because I can recognize a very large vocabulary of words,
mm-hmm.
but it's a different skill from recognizing it to actually be able to use them in practice, and that requires a lot deeper knowledge of the word and a lot more familiarity with it to actually be using it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still working on getting that part down.
Mm-hmm. Where are you going from here? What do you want to do with your life?
My first choice right now is to go to Princeton, but I don't hear back from them until April.
I see.
So I don't even know if I'm accepted there yet. And a strong second choice for a college for me is University of Chicago, which has a very awesome core curriculum that really teaches you about how to think and make sure you know the history of some part of the world so you have some background in what people have done and what human nature is like. And they make sure some sort of background in philosophy and in math and science. And so they really want to teach you how to think and give you the tools of learning there.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I read their course catalog, it sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then the whole atmosphere at Princeton is very attractive to me, too, how everyone there is such an incredibly advanced student and very focused on learning and very serious about all their activities, which I think is true on Chicago, too. But it seems maybe a little more intense at Princeton. And they also have a great Catholic group at Princeton, and they may have one on Chicago, too, but I'm a Catholic, so that's very important to me to have that strong presence there.
Uh-huh.
And then also at Princeton, there's this Professor Robert George, who I really like. So all those things put Princeton a little up for me.
Right.
But Chicago also offers a full 4-year tuition scholarship for their $40,000 a year tuition.
Well, that sounds good.
And they offer 20 of those each year to candidates selected on the basis of their application.
Uh-huh.
So they get one of those that might push Chicago over Princeton.
Right. Right.
And then I can use my $40,000 I just won for room and board and be completely free of financial obligations during college.
Isn't that something, Robert? You're also a musician, right?
Yes. I very much enjoy playing cello and piano.
That's wonderful. What did your school think of this? And you've achieved a little bit of fame. You've been all over the newspaper, New York Times, and other publications. What do people say to you?
Yeah, everyone in my school was really excited. They just thought it was really cool that I won this.
You know, my mom, she used to, when I was growing up, well, when I was in school, she always used to teach us a word a day. And now they have those calendars, you know, which I always give to my son. Here's a new word for the day. But she could have capitalized on that. You ought to capitalize on this in some way. Maybe we need Robert Marsland's word every day in order to win the National Vocabulary Championship, huh?
Yeah,
why not? Well, I know you want to go back to English class. You're such a diligent student. You were worried about stepping out of class for a few minutes. So my best to your teacher and to you, Robert. Let us know what happens to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. We'll watch you on television.
Yep.
All right, Robert. Bye.
Bye.
Robert Marsland, the 18-year-old Wisconsin high school student who's from Madison, who won the GSN's first ever National Vocabulary Championship. If you want to see him on television, it will be on television on, where is this information? I just wrote it down here on April 15. Is that what he said? Yeah, Sunday, April 15 at 7 p.m. Central Time on GSN. It's a one-hour special based on this National Vocabulary Championship. He also, we didn't ask him about this, but he also previously competed in the Scripps National Spelling Bee back in 2003. So congratulations to Robert. We're spending this hour in kind of a new feature here, who wins, who loses, mostly looking for winners and welcoming your phone calls as well. We're talking with various people who are in the winners category and welcoming your calls at 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050 for you to join our conversation. More winners coming up in just a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Who wins and who loses? A feature we hope to do, I don't know how often, but every now and then. And welcoming your phone calls, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. This story comes from Tel Aviv, Israel, toward the end of February. Wouldn't this be a great way to go to work? Stressed out commuters got a peaceful surprise as they boarded an Israeli bus the week of February 21st, a yoga instructor with a microphone coaching them how to breathe correctly. The passengers stretched their hands toward the ceiling and bent their heads forward as Miri Haravi, a 21-year veteran yoga teacher, guided them through a set of exercises that can be formed while sitting down. She said the idea for a yoga bus came to her in the middle of the night while she was sleeping. And she talked to the Tel Aviv bus company, and they jumped on the idea. Most of the passengers on the bus participated, and many said they felt relaxed and more ready for work. The yoga bus has run every Tuesday for 3 weeks. She hopes the program will continue and expand. She and her husband have worked for years to promote yoga on Israeli television and also in public schools. We want people to try yoga and feel how good it is. I had an uncle, Uncle Dan O'Leary, who was a conductor on the Northwest Railroad from Crystal Lake, Illinois to Chicago for many years, an Irish guy, as you can imagine. He used to bring, particularly this week, St. Patrick's Week, Irish songbooks. And so going into Chicago on the way to work, everybody would be singing Tour, Laura, Laura. I thought that was fun. His picture was in the Chicago Tribune, too. Kind of cool. All right. An article in the Chicago Tribune caught our attention, published March 7, West Bend, Wisconsin, the Dateline. It's not easy to get the vacuum or other cleaning tools out of Kathy Bake's hand, even to give her an outstanding employee award. Kathy is a janitor with the West Bend School District, and she received the outstanding employee in the custodial maintenance category. She received $300, a plaque, and recognition at a school board meeting. At the ceremony, which took place at the Rolfs Education Center, there were school personnel, her sons, brothers, sisters, and in-laws. And she joins us now as another of our winners. Kathy, congratulations to you. Hello.
Hi.
Were you surprised to receive this award?
Very surprised.
How come? Evidently, a lot of people see the results of your hard labor.
I didn't think I was doing that fabulous of a job. doing my cleaning and putting my night in, but nothing outstanding.
Uh-huh. You say when this article, tell me if this is a correct quote or not, when I've got a vacuum cleaner in my hand, don't even try bothering me. I'm at home.
Yes. Yes. I'm very much relaxed, and I love what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, this is quite an honor. It's nice that you were given this honor. Outstanding employee in the custodial maintenance category. Is this something new, or this kind of an award, Kathy?
No. They've been doing it for a long time. Only mine was the janitor bus category. The custodial is like my supervisor. They're one step up.
I see.
And they've been doing it for a long time. They do it in other categories, too, mm-hmm. which I really love.
Yeah.
I thought it was really great. You're doing your job all the time and all the time and all the time. And all of a sudden, somebody says, hey, we do appreciate your work.
Right. It is important for that to happen, isn't it? It's very important.
It gives you an uplift.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want you to pat yourself on your back, but please do, because if you don't, who else will? But what is it about the quality of your work, do you think, that got you this kind of honor? What is it?
Well, from what I've heard, it's a couple of different things. It's my attitude.
Mm.
It's the way I deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my cleaning. They're just pleased with how well I'm doing it. I really enjoy it.
Do you work? Did you say you work nights? What are your hours?
I work from 3 in the afternoon till 11:30 at night.
Oh, my gosh.
When this Rolfs Center that I clean, when that was originally set up, I did the initial cleaning on it after the construction. There's a lot of people from the school that work
mm-hmm.
very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I ate a lot of dust from the drywall.
Hmm.
The air was full of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, no, I don't know how to put it into words.
What, you obviously really like what you do. Why do you like it? What is it about cleaning that gives you great satisfaction? Are you there, Kathy?
I think it's a combination of many things.
Mm-hmm.
You get to go through your rooms and you see a lot of a lot of projects and things that the kids are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to meet a lot of wonderful teachers, and you get to see a side of life that students and nobody gets to see. The teachers put in a lot of hours, a lot of planning. They're busy working on projects. They're just really great people. I get to experience a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy cleaning up. I do mopping of floors, vacuuming, bathrooms. I just really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's terrific.
I'm at home. I'm relaxed. You know, I close the door. I do my job. And then I come home and I have my life at home.
Right. Do you listen to music or anything during those hours?
No.
You just don't? You don't, really?
I enjoy the quiet.
You do?
Yeah.
That's great. What do you do about floors? I'm always amazed, and I'll bet the floors that you clean must be in terrific shape. I'm always amazed when I go to schools that are well kept up how really spiffy the floors are. My floors never look very spiffy, so how do you make that happen? Or am I asking you to give away a trade secret?
You're wet mopping your floors at night.
Yeah.
Well, first you've got to sweep them up, and some of them you dust mop up. You treat your mops, then you're wet mopping your floors. Every so often, you're stripping them down and waxing them. You put a bunch of layers on so that it can last as long as possible, especially from the weather. In the school I'm in, there's a couple of areas, floors, that there's little kids on, the ones ages before you go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do a lot of messing on the floors. They like to draw on the floors.
Oh.
So you're kept pretty busy.
Yeah, I bet you are. Bet. And tell me about the actual awards ceremony. Everybody surprised you, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They all snuck in. And, and then the administrator of Head Start kept me in her office, Mary Beth Brocker, and she's talking to me about cleaning, and I'm wondering, why is she saying what she's saying? Because she already knew all the answers to it. And I'm thinking, well, she must have something in mind she wants to talk to me about, so I'll just wait and find out what it is. Well, I found out what it was. She led me downstairs into a classroom where everybody was waiting for me, and my family, and I got very emotional.
Mm.
That was very special to me. And then the little kids from the one classroom sang a song to me, thanking me for cleaning and garbage removal and vacuuming, and they were just so sweet.
Mm.
And then last night I went to the board meeting, and there myself and a custodian from the high school that I used to work for, he received an award also. So we were on TV, and we were thanked, and it was just very nice.
Yeah, it is very nice. It's a really nice story. Well, Kathy, thanks very much for being with us, and congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
Well-deserved. Thanks. Kathy is with the West Bend School District, receiving the Outstanding Employee in the Custodial Maintenance category, $300, a plaque recognition, and a surprise recognition with her family surprising her at the school board meeting. And she says that she loves working in the school atmosphere. I love being around the kids and all the projects they do. Youngsters often pitch in to help when they see her cleaning. When I got a vacuum cleaner in my hand, don't even try bothering me. I'm at home, Kathy says, one of our winners. Fred is next from Delafield, calling with a winner, I think. Hi, Fred.
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead.
Well, the reason why I called is I was so inspired by your stories. For the last 6 years, I've been working on a program called EncourageAmerica.org, and I'm going to be launching it next month. And it's really amazing. When you meet these people, they get recognized. And I was working with quite a few newspapers in southeastern Wisconsin doing a monthly column called Encourage America. We discovered that a lot of people didn't get to read it, so we created a website called EncourageAmerica.org. And I want to invite you or any of your listeners to, if they want to post any stories about local heroes, they can go right to the website, we're launching this officially next month. So some people on my board that might be hearing this right now will say, Fred, what are you doing? But what's important is about people being publicly thanked. And when you hear this last call, it was so impressive to hear her gratitude.
Right.
I mean, just to sense what she's really about, it gives her a stronger identity. And I say that everyone's busy in their life, but if you're too busy to say thank you, you won't have a lot of things to say thank you for if you forget to say thank you.
Yeah.
It's really important that we focus on it. So if I'm also looking for some people, a person or two in every community. There's 210 communities in southeastern Wisconsin. And that we've identified, that we want a person or two from every community to kind of be responsible for making sure the word gets out about their people in their communities, that they can come to this website any time of the day, anywhere in the world, and look at it and see what's going on positive.
All right, so Fred, good for you.
If you want to go take a peek, we have a Waukesha page. We go to Wisconsin, Waukesha County, and scroll down right there in the center of the page. You'll see a couple hundred stories of people we have honored already. Or they can go out to Merton, which is Waukesha County, and to Northlake Elementary School, which is the first school in America to embrace this program. It is a wonderful. It's just wonderful to see these people as they get thanked, like your other callers before. So
right.
I really applaud the work you're doing. It's pretty incredible because we can't find positive news in too many places.
And I'm with you.
To do this.
Fred, thank you so much. Thank you so much. EncourageAmerica.org is the place to go. We'll go there right after the show. And we thank Fred for calling with that and for honoring people. Who wins, who loses, we are going to be speaking now with the program director of the Center for Integrated Natural Resource and Agricultural Management at the University of Minnesota. Dean Current is with us. Another on our winner list, the North American Commission for Environmental Cooperation, a PALM certification program. And we'll talk about what that is all about. They are working with his organization, with the Rainforest Alliance Trees Program, Smartwood and Transfair, to certify palms harvested from the forests of Mexico and Guatemala for sale to congregations in the United States and also in Europe. Dean, hello. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kathy.
Sure. Now, tell me about this program. How does it work?
Basically, what we do, we work with these communities in Guatemala and Mexico, and they're trained by Rainforest Alliance to harvest these palms sustainably. In the past, they would harvest palms and be paid by the quantity that they harvested, so they'd often throw away 50% of what was harvested.
Oh, my.
And with this program, just gathering the quality palms, that's down to less than 10%. They've measured 2% to 7% in Guatemala. So that keeps more leaves in the forest and makes those plants healthier and the forest ecosystem healthier. Then the other part of it is the kind of the fair trade element. It's not fair trade certified yet, but we're working on that. But what we do, for every stem that's sold for Palm Sunday, 5 cents goes back to these communities, and it pretty much goes directly back. And then they use that. We kind of leave it up to the community to decide how they will use that money. But, for example, in Guatemala, last year, they used the money to pay a part of a teacher's salary for the community and also provide some scholarships for some of the younger girls in the community that often would stay home with their mothers but now are able to attend school.
Mm-hmm. You've also been doing some other work here. You've been working on a fuel wood project in Pakistan, too. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was quite a few years ago, but what we were trying to do there was really help working with the Pakistani Forest Service, set up an extension service that would really work with small landowners to get fuel wood plantations established so they could use for their own use and also potentially for sale.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a web? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've worked for about 10 years in Central America on similar things, looking at helping small farmers produce trees that both provided fuel and other for housing construction materials as well, as well as income through sale.
Great. Do you have a website that people can go to find out about this program, EcoPalms?
Yeah, there's two. I'll give you our website at the University of Minnesota is www.cinram.umn.edu.
Okay.
And there's a little oval on the left-hand side that says Palms for the Americas. Click on that. That'll take you to the program. Another good site is the Lutheran World Relief website. It's www.lwr.org.
Okay.
/palms. And they have a little flash presentation there. They've done a really nice job.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us and for your work, Dean.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on.
Dean Current, Program Director of the Center for Integrated Natural Resources and Agricultural Movement, or Agricultural Management at the University of Minnesota, put him in the winners column. And thanks so much to Susie Seidelman and to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks for your calls. We'll keep doing these. We want to weave in some more of your phone calls, too. So now that you know we're doing this, if you see something in the newspaper or you hear about a winner or a loser, we like to concentrate on the winners because the world needs more winners, let us know or put it in your stash, and then you can call us when we do the next program like this. Or if you see something, forward it to us as well. Rhonda's email address is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org, and she'll collect those, and we'll do this again. It's kind of fun. So, well, that's about it. Thanks to all of our winners. And if you would like, you could order a copy of this show by calling the radio store at 800-747-7444. The program number is 313E, 313E, and this show repeats at 10 o'clock tonight. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until tomorrow, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.